Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 15. I want us to give reading to verses 17 through 32. We are considering the parable of the prodigal son under the title of The Awakened Sinner. The Awakened Sinner. When he came to his senses, that's the awakening, he said, How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I'm dying here of hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand, sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf. Kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to be merry. For this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost, but has been found. Well, we have described for us in this portion of God's Word the reception which the Father gives to the wayward son. There are three things about this reception, and in pointing them out, we will be drawing some parallels between the prodigal's Father and God the Father, as well as the repentant prodigal son and repentant sinners. Because you see, the Father in this parable is meant to represent, to be a picture of God the Father. The son is a picture of every sinner, no matter who, what, where. Every sinner that comes to him, God, through Christ. Three things about the Father. Number one. His compassion. His compassion. What does compassion mean? What does the word mean? What does it mean to you? If we said, so-and-so is very compassionate, you have in your mind what that means? Look at verse 20. Luke 15, 20. And he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. I've often tried to picture this in my mind. Living out in the country somewhere. And I rather think, this is my opinion, that probably quite often The father was out front walking around the property and looking down the road, hoping to see his son. He did see him. That's what the Bible says. He saw him. Can you imagine the longing that he had had in his heart, and sleepless nights, tasteless meals? He saw him. And felt compassion. Compassion. How much compassion do you have? Honestly, I'm asking you that before God this morning. Are you a compassionate, loving person? Are you wrapped up in your own little world? Me, mine, my wife and my sons and us four and no more? Or do you care about anybody else besides yourself? He felt compassion. It wasn't like something he picked up at the dollar store. He felt it. Think of that. It had a grip on him. He felt it in his bones. He felt it in his heart, his soul. And as a result of feeling that compassion, he ran. I don't know how old this guy was. Of course, we realize we're dealing with a parable. This really didn't happen. It's a parable. It's a story. But I'll let you imagine. He ran. He ran. And embraced him. Gave him a big old hug. And kissed him. Three words come to mind, and I hope they come to yours as we progress. And that first word is eagerness. We don't use that word very much anymore, do we? Some eagerness. He's really eager. Eagerness. What do we mean when we use that word? What does it mean here when we use it? It means that there's a certain amount of energy being felt and transmitted. It shows. You tell your kid, take the garbage out. Part of his job. And he's a bit slow. It's kind of ho-hum. Do I gotta? Or it can be done with eagerness. Jump up. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. He grabs a hold of it and he makes sure he's got all of it and makes sure it's good and tied. And eagerness. The father was longing and waiting and hoping to do what? Show compassion. He didn't just say, "Hi, son, how you doing? Welcome home." It was just being exuberated all over the place. It says in this passage, and when the young man was a long way off, he could see him. He had an vantage point. And he saw the figure moving along. And he could even tell at a distance, that's my boy. That's him. I know the way he walks. Father didn't walk. He ran. He couldn't get there fast enough. And the father had pity. Pity. What did the father see when he got a good look at the boy? Remember now the boy's circumstance. He was in poverty. He had no money to buy food. And perhaps the father saw dirty, grimy clothes. He'd been living with the pigs. Perhaps the boy was even suffering from, I don't know, maybe some physical injury. He might have suffered from the effects of drunkenness. You can be sure of this, it wasn't a pretty picture. Because as the father would have the ability to discern by the clothing and a few other things, he could pretty well figure out what the boy had been doing or doing without. And what was the father's response? Say you back home, huh? No. There was no response of anger and disgust. There was a response of pity, sympathy. He wanted to hold him. He wanted to kiss him. This man was full of pity, exuberance. His compassion was not measured out. He ran. He ran to the boy. He fell on his neck. He hugged him. And the scriptures teach us that God is moved with compassion towards sinners who want him. God does not sit back passively and indifferently waiting for sinners to come. God yearns for sinners to come to him, and his compassion is full of eagerness, pity, and exuberance. Here's a question. What do you think God's attitude is toward the unrepentant? What do you think? Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 31, because we have here a passage looking forward to the future repentance of Israel. Jeremiah 31, beginning with verse 18. I have surely heard Ephraim grieving. Thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised like an untrained calf. Bring me back, that I may be restored. For thou art the Lord my God. For after I turned back, I repented. And after I was instructed, I smote on my thigh. I was ashamed and also humiliated, because I bore the reproach of my youth. This is predicted of Israel when Israel repents. But now look at Jeremiah 31 and verse 20. Here's what God says. Jeremiah 31:20. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a delightful child? Indeed, as often as I have spoken against him, I certainly still remember him. Therefore my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? That's like pulling the curtains back and giving you a glimpse of God in his love, his mercy, his compassion. Let me just suggest we would do well to meditate and think on that passage. Here is Israel, that is Ephraim here. Sinful, an unrepentant nation. It will one day repent. But notice God's attitude before they actually repent. God says that Ephraim is his son. This is my boy, his darling son. It says, as often as I speak against him. That refers to the condemnation found in Jeremiah. Condemnation found in Jeremiah. I do earnestly remember him. And even more richly. Therefore, my heart yearns. My heart yearns for him. For him. While I am speaking against him, while I am pronouncing his judgment, while he is living in such a wicked state, that I do not even want Jeremiah to pray for him. God says that at that very time, I am yearning for him. You get the picture? What a picture it is. There are those who think that God delights in his wrath. They think that when somebody has gone past the limit of God's patience and when God is determined to bring judgment upon them, they seem to think that God delights in his justice, delights to bring this wrath upon them. But this passage is saying at the point when God was just in bringing his wrath upon them and was entirely righteous when he spoke against them, he was still yearning for them. What a great, wonderful God we have. Ezekiel wrote concerning God, as I live, declares the Lord God, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But rather that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn back from your evil ways. Why then will you die, O house of Israel? Do you see the pleading, the urgency, the compassion? It just oozes. The voice of God Paul wrote to Timothy. And Paul said to Timothy concerning God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's our God. That's our God. And quite honestly, dear people, we should not necessarily stumble over John 3:16. God pictures himself like the father of the prodigal. His longing and yearning to be merciful. You have these displays of the longing heart of God displayed in Jesus Christ. Here's a passage that describes it. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Put it in these words for you. Christ is the concrete expression to us of the heart of his Father. Here's a penetrating question. When you come to God, what does God see? There may be those who are not Christians. If so, when you come to God, what does God see? And those of you who are Christians, who need to come to God, even in repentance, when you come to him, what does God see? Remember what the father of the prodigal saw. God see in you, me, when we come? A mind filled with impure thoughts? A body spoiled by carnal pleasures? Lips that have spoken unkind words? Rebellion. What does he see? You really can't hide anything. But here's the key question. How does he react to what he sees in you? Is God filled with rage, vicious anger? What does this passage teach us? You see, this father of the boy is to represent to us something about God the Father. What do we see? That man sees in his son everything vile, stinking, and disappointing. A mess. And the Father is filled with compassion. Grieved? Yes, he's grieved. And we might even go so far as to say there's some holy anger. But at the same time, this Father is eager to receive him. And I want you to get that picture. If you leave here this morning with no other takeaways, take this away. That yes, God is grieved. God is capable of holy anger. But at the same time, dear friend, he's eager to receive you. Longing, loving, compassionate. So this is the very first thing we learn about the Father. Compassionate toward his Son. The second thing is, the Father accepted the prodigal as a son, and lovingly met every need. I've chosen the words carefully. Lovingly met every need. Well, what was the expectation of the boy? You remember? Maybe he'll take me back as a servant. That was the best he could hope for. The father was exceedingly more generous than the boy could ever have hoped for. The father actually received him back as a son. And lovingly met every need. I'm sure the boy was overwhelmed. It far, far, far exceeded his expectations. Five things that the Father did. Number one, he got the very best robe he had in the house. No doubt this boy was smelly and dirty. I don't think he probably had a shower at hand. And certainly no deodorant. And how does the Father do this? He doesn't just kind of get the attention of a servant and say, "Hey there, bring over some clean clothes for this boy." He says, "Get the very best robe we have." So much is intimated here. It's the carrying out of the father's responsibility in a fatherly way, in a loving fatherly way. best robe. Nothing else, the best one. Well, secondly, he orders a ring. And some commentators point out that this is probably more significant than we realize. Swine herders do not wear rings. Servants do not wear rings. Noble men and their sons wear rings. You see the subtleties and sometimes not quite so subtle things that are being said here. You see, the commentators make the point that the giving of the ring was of the first expressions that the boy was not being taken back as a servant. This is very clear. Put a ring on his hand. And what's happened here is that he is being received back as a nobleman's son. Well, isn't this a beautiful picture of our God and how graciously He deals with us? May God use it to draw us to Himself. What a wonderful, gracious, loving God we have. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Our gracious God, we thank you for your word. Use it to move us, to seek you, to come to you in our deplorable conditions at times, and be received by God the Father, because He is our Father as we've come to Him in true saving faith. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.